I am back in the UK again, and this week may have been one of the best of my life, possibly. As I look back on my life, however, I find myself again feeling nothing but gratitude for every single moment. Ooh, and I might have found my baby mama. It's my unconventional life. Au gratin. I went to the woods because I wanted to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life, and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. My name is Nigel McGuinness, and this is my unconventional life. It's a podcast, it's a journal, and in a way, it is kind of a personal ad. But most of all, it's about navigating the treacherous waters of love, sex, and relationships in 2017. Sponsored by absolutely no one. Every week, I detail my own journey and discuss my own untraditional views and aspirations in that world. Whatever the topic, whoever the guest, it all comes back to one question. How do we best find and express love in 2017? I know some people don't like hearing or reading about being happy, content, and only seeing beauty or feeling gratitude. They prefer hearing stories of strife and struggle, which I certainly had, largely because of my attitude in my early years. For those people, then, this may not be the episode for you. Because truthfully, my life just keeps getting better. I flew back to England last week and got in at 7 a.m, getting a quick shower and breakfast before heading out for a full day of media promoting the shows I'd come over for. Now, some people wouldn't perhaps enjoy such a schedule, but honestly, I loved it. Of course, this is the first day of this for me. In a year or two, perhaps I'll feel differently. Plus, it included an appearance on the British Children's Television Institution, Blue Peter, which was so much fun for me. And I got a Blue Peter badge, which is kind of like a Super Bowl ring to a five-year-old. Those things were like gold dust when I was a kid. But this whole thing, it's just an amazing reality that I never could have imagined even 2 months ago. And I guess it shows you never know what's around the corner. And perhaps that having the right attitude can open the world up to you. To that end, I got 2 emails last week from girls on the Modamly Parenting Partnership website. I'd pretty much given up on the websites and was focusing on dating instead. And then I got this. So I replied to them right away, as well as writing to a third girl that I saw on the site by chance. And one of the first girls wrote right back. We chatted the next day and then managed to meet for a coffee before I left. She's 37, originally from Japan, but has lived here in the States about 20 years like me. She has a house a mile up the road from me, which is fantastic, is a nurse and a dance teacher, and seems really kind and intelligent, and she just got her shit together. Now, she said she could have a kid on her own right now, but really wants a parenting partner because she wants her child to have a good father. Got to be honest, after talking to her, I really like her. I don't want to tempt fate. Well, you know, I don't believe in that. It's just one of many exciting possibilities in my life, for which I feel nothing but blessed. In the Chinese zodiac, this is going to be the year of the rooster, or by its other name, cock. Now, perhaps that's significant with my renewed libido and love of all things feminine. Or as my best mate Alan says, it should be the year of the Nigel. Now, he thinks I should try to sleep with as many girls this year as I have in my whole life so far. To try to live vicariously through me, I think. But I'm not going to do that because, well, how crude. I guess you can't blame the guy for suggesting it. He does have balls the size of large kiwi fruit. What I am going to do is live my truth. Let life unfold authentically as it may, and live it in happiness and positivity and openness. Carpe diem, seize the day, gather ye rosebuds while ye may. I stole that from Robin Williams in Dead Poets Society. But he stole it from Robert Herrick. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may, old time is still a-flying. And this same flower that smiles today, tomorrow will be dying. This week's interview is the second part of my interview with my magician friend, Crow Garrett. In it, he is remarkably open and comfortable about his sexuality, which I think is as cool and inspiring as it was perhaps surprising.
There are some stories that I'm kind of proud of.
But tell us one.
What's the statute of limitation? 6 years or so? Yeah,
something. This is wait way, a second. Let's not.
This is way over
6 years.
There was one time I ended up with a group of female friends. From the age of 18, I've always been around very openly adult-oriented type things.
Yeah,
my viewpoints on relationships didn't change until just recently.
Okay,
but I've always been around like strippers, porn stars. I was a DJ in a strip club for a long period of time. I worked in a tattoo shop as a body piercer, so the strippers were always coming across the street to get body pierced and everything.
Yes.
So I always ended up around it. There was one time where I get a phone call from a girl, a female friend of mine. An exotic dancer called me up and said, hey, I'm out here hanging out with some friends at this apartment. We're going swimming, so come hang out. I show up. I didn't realize that they were going swimming, so I didn't bring any swim trunks or anything. And next thing I know, I'm basically going partially skinny dipping in the jacuzzi and the pool, and I kind of hit it off really nicely with one of the girls that was there. And in the jacuzzi, I went from going to having my tighty whities on to having absolutely nothing on.
Right.
And that kind of initiated this whole group orgy of like four or five girls and another dude that got involved.
Wow.
All in this public apartment pool area. Next thing I know, there are people like filming on cell phones, like on their balconies and everything. I remember one of the girls like saying like, hey, people are filming and are like, people are out here watching. I'm like, is anybody calling the cops? And they're like, no. And I'm like, let them watch.
It's brilliant.
So it went on until like probably 6 o'clock in the morning or so. But
you see, I hear these stories and there's a big part of me that goes, oh, why have I not got any of those stories? You know, was there a lot of alcohol involved? Was there a lot of drugs?
No. For me, no. I've always been a clean person. I do drink alcohol. I do drink beer mostly.
Yeah.
I can count the number of times that I've been drunk on one hand. But at the same time, the drugs, I've only smoked pot 3 times, and that's as far as I've ever gone with any of it. I didn't like it. I hated the feeling of it, so I stayed as far away from it as possible.
Right.
So for me, it was just that kind of promiscuous type of, I never really had somebody there, which I'm glad I didn't have somebody there to say sex is bad. Sex should only be between one person.
Okay.
Like, I've always kind of had this like notion because, again, like single boy growing up in a house full of nothing but women.
Yeah.
Nobody there when I hit puberty to really sit there and say like, hey, don't do this. Don't do that. So I kind of discovered through the power of early internet with dial-up, the powers of porn and everything.
Right.
And seeing some of these images of like group orgies and stuff like that, I sit there and go, well, maybe that is a normal thing. If these people are doing it and they enjoy it, maybe that is a normal thing. And as I've grown up and now I'm 31, I have discovered if it's on the internet, there are a whole lot of people out there who enjoy it.
Yeah. There's probably nothing that you could conceive of that hasn't been done and enjoyed by someone.
Yeah.
For sure. And as long as it's consensual and between adults, then you know, more power to you, for sure.
Yeah.
So really then it came down to proximity. You just were around these sort of people who were sexually open.
Yeah.
And therefore got to experience all these sort of things. Whereas I really wasn't. I think if I look back on my life, I probably was around these people, but never really connected with them because I wasn't into drugs. I wasn't into clubs, that sort of thing. And so I was more into hanging out with coffee shops.
Yeah.
That's not where the average sort of swinger goes, I guess. I don't know. You would
be surprised.
Yeah, you know what? I probably would be surprised. You're right.
Well, as I've discovered throughout my time of exploring my own sexuality, there's a lot of freaks out there in the world. And I'm saying freaks in a positive light. I'm saying it as you can go to a coffee shop and everybody's got a kink. Everybody's got something going on. And to me, like, I think it's a wonderful thing. Like, I was amazed to find out I'm a huge Disney fanatic. I'm a huge fan of, like, going to Disneyland. Uh-huh. I was surprised to find out how many females who also have, like, the annual pass to Disneyland or so are very much into the kink world. Huh. Like, if they give this image of being, like, very sweet and innocent and everything, first thing I ask them is, like, all right, what's your problem? Basically saying, like, yeah, there's something there. Everybody's got something.
Yeah, and, very and few say, people.
Own it, be proud of it.
Right. Very few people are an open book, I think. Yeah. And I was just talking to someone about this the other day about me, how I come across so polite and kind and nice because I am all of these things. But if anyone ever sees that alpha side of me.
Yeah.
Which very few people see because only ever it comes out when I'm sort of sexually intimate with a girl. And certainly up to very recently, that didn't happen very often because I've been in lots of long-term monogamous relationships. But long story short, when they do see that side of me, they go, oh, did not expect that out of you whatsoever.
Yeah.
But it's always there. I just don't sort of wear it on my sleeve because I don't want to be that weird, creepy guy that like talks about my cock, you know, when I just met you. Like, it's a time and a fucking place for it.
I mean, honestly, like, there are times when I have to look back on some of my interactions and I have to say, like, oh my God, am I that weird creepy guy? But at the same time, it comes out so naturally. Like, not saying, like, I just go up to somebody and say, like, let's talk about my cock.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just there's a connection with a person.
Right.
We both have this, like, open dialogue of, like, yep, this is the type of person that I am. She's saying that's the type of person that she is.
Right.
And then very early on, sex, like, comes into play within, like, that day.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. What's your take on people that work in the adult industry, in front of the camera, girls specifically? Do you think I could potentially date someone who worked in porn?
I will say this honestly as a friend and as like as much as I care about you. I would say try it.
Okay.
But at the same time, for you, from listening to your podcast and knowing you, you're looking for a relationship or you're looking for a child. They may not be, and a good number of them aren't.
Right. Well, really, I'm okay with any kind of relationship as long as it's kind and meaningful.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that doesn't mean there has to be any obligation whatsoever.
Yeah.
But I don't want to sleep with somebody and then sort of feel awkward and weird and have them sort of get out of bed and put their clothes on and leave and oh, see you next week, high five.
Yeah.
Like I want to be able to cuddle and talk to them and listen to them and, you know, share something. To me, intimacy isn't about getting naked and putting my cock inside someone. To me, intimacy is talking, it's communicating, it's being open emotionally, more so than physically.
Yeah, and that girl may be in the industry. She may exist. And this is just going off of my personal experiences of a lot of the girls that I've been with within the industry. They're not the type that want to stick around. There are a couple that come to mind that it's like, right when we're done, they're usually out the door. And I'm like, well, can we, like, bye.
Maybe not for me then.
Yeah, but at the same time, every single person is different.
Yeah.
Like, I'm okay with that type of girl. I have no problem with it. There are times when I've been that guy where I'm, like, trying to think, how do I get rid of this girl?
Oh, or so. That's like, awful, like, though.
Like, yeah, you no, see, no, like, it's awful. But for me, it's like, the problem that I ran into when I find myself in that position of, like, how do I get this girl to go away is there was no open communication.
Right.
There was no explanation like, this is what I feel towards you. And she didn't even open up the communication of saying, this is what I feel towards
you. It's hard, isn't it?
It's really hard.
We fear that we'll be judged. Certainly as a guy, if you say to a girl, I'm sexually attracted to you, but I have no interest in an emotional relationship with you. Well, that's kind of a mean thing to say.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is...
Well, I'll tell you the truth. Like, another story. When I was about 18 years old, I was that guy.
Yeah.
There was a girl that I kind of was like, yeah, I got a thing for her. I want to be with her. And then she said those exact words to me. Like, I only see you as sex. I don't want anything else out of you.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, man. But now, the type of person that I am, that I've kind of grown into, I suddenly discovered, wait, I'm okay with that. That is me, to a certain extent.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the person that somebody's an asshole to. Right. I don't want to be used, and I don't want to be a toy.
Right.
I do want to be looked at as a human being, just like everybody else should be looked at as a human being.
I guess, I wonder why I place so many caveats, and I'm a lot better than I used to be about it, for sure. Mm. It used to be, you know, if we didn't love each other and we weren't going to try and be in a monogamous relationship, I didn't want to have sex with you, you know?
Yeah.
It's obviously a long way from that now. But I wonder why I feel like there has to be more to it. Because would I rub any girl's shoulders if they didn't want to talk to me after rubbing their shoulders? Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. But even then. No, even then.
Yeah.
I'd still want to talk to them.
Yeah.
You could say that I'm a connection junkie. That's what does it for me, is connecting with people.
Yeah.
And that is. But to me, that's not sexual.
Yeah.
That's just being a human being.
Yeah. To each your own. Mm-hmm. Like, each individual person has their own path in the world.
Yeah.
And the idea of the path is to get from point A to point B, hopefully as healthy and as strong as possible, where you have a good life and everything.
Make the world a better place.
Yeah, make the world a better place. What I love about the age that we're in, especially within podcasting or within TV or within everything, is that everything is a little more sexually open, where it's now becoming a world of sex positive. Like, being sex positive to me is awesome.
Yeah.
You have your thing of, like, you love, like, the idea of chatting with somebody after, like, cuddling and everything.
Mm.
Like, for me, like, in depending on the person, I may not be that person. I love chatting with people that I have slept with, even without the relationship,
right,
to find out, like, one, what was it that made you attracted to me? Or what was your expectation? Or what did you think about this? And I had one girl that was like, I just wanted to sleep with you because I pictured you as the guy that was going to just, like, throw me up against the wall and be all aggressive and everything.
Uh-huh.
And she was even mad that she's like, I wanted you to throw me up against the wall. I wanted you to be aggressive and everything.
And you weren't?
I wasn't for her.
Ah.
Like, within that sex positive world that we're now heading towards, or we're going into, where more and more people are openly accepting the fact of, like, sex is not just the idea of, like, the connection of love.
Mm-hmm.
It is a natural thing for people to do, whether it be in love or outside of love. I love the fact that we can openly talk about these things. Like, I can have that conversation with her, and that she can feel comfortable enough to say, like, I was a little disappointed when we had sex because you didn't throw me up against the wall. You weren't that aggressive alpha male that I wanted you to be. And I'm like, and my response back to her was, you should have told me. Because that is one of my things. Like,
you can't. Yeah. That's the deal.
I told her, and she's like, yeah, I should have.
No, like, that's the thing that all girls say. That's the unwritten rule that girls probably don't even realize themselves. If they have to tell you, it's too late.
If they have to tell you, it's your fault.
It's you could make an analogy with magic. You know, certainly if you think about mentalism. And you think about reading people, and you do one effect very differently than another effect with two different people. Well, you see it all the time, don't you?
Yeah.
Take a pack of cards out, and you see someone go, come on then, let's see what you can do. And you know automatically they're going to try and fuck with you.
Yeah.
So what effect you use would be different than someone who's like, oh, I love magic.
Yes.
This is great.
Yes.
So to a certain extent, I think with girls, or anybody that you're with sexually, there's that feeling out process. And for me, it's always seemed to come naturally. And No. That's not necessarily true. I think what it is, because I guarantee you there are girls that would go, oh, God, Nigel McGuinness, what was I thinking? But it's because we didn't connect on that level.
Yeah.
For example, there could be a girl that just liked hard sex.
Yeah.
Like just...
Yeah.
You know, not even any kissing. I don't care if you... I just want to be fucked hard and then... And that's it. No hugging, no kissing, nothing afterwards. And that's it. That's what does it for her.
Yeah.
But not for me. So I think that's... Yeah. Not a terrible thing.
Well, to get a little more into the personal side of myself, yeah, I am into those type of things. I am into the alternative sexual lifestyle, the BDSM world and swinger world. But the number one rule that I've had, and again, this goes back to when I said, like, I appreciated growing up in a house full of women. I have that respect.
Right.
Like, what I'm into, I know not everybody else in the world is into. And there have been times where I've been that opening to people discovering that side of themselves. And for one girl that comes to mind in particular, her and I went our separate ways sexually, but she's still exploring. Right. And I think that's awesome. Right. I think that's fantastic. Like, that's the best thing in the world. Like, I opened her up to that door. What? And she's healthy out there, going out there and exploring new things that she like the reason why we went our separate ways was she said, like, what you're into, I'm not into anymore. Right. But I appreciate the fact that I at least tried this.
Right.
But I still want to go explore.
Yeah.
And when she started exploring other ideas, these were things that I wasn't into.
Right.
So I say, good for you. Go out there. Explore. Yeah,
right. That's it.
You don't know until you at least try it. As far as the bondage goes, hell, I have coffee table books that are out here that actually are bondage books.
Right.
I am very much a submissive person in my personal life.
Right.
But outside of my personal life, when I'm actually out there in my sexual world, I'm very much an alpha male. I'm very much a dominant individual.
Yeah.
So when I was presented with this one girl who said, like, I wanted you to throw me up against the wall.
Right.
When I'm saying, like, you should have told me, that was me. My failure was to say, hey, this is something that I'm into. Are you into it? Because at that point, I was still afraid, thinking, like, if I say I'm into this, then she thinks I'm going to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't mean I have to do it. At the same time, it was her. Like, it was communication from both sides failing.
Right.
Because both of us couldn't take the time to actually sit there and say, I'm into throwing you up against the wall. And she should have said, I'm into you throwing me up against the wall.
Yeah, I just let it happen. But there's Louis C.K. does that bit, doesn't he, about that girl after one of the shows, you remember?
No, which one?
Oh,
he
does a fucking genius bit about how there was a girl after a show early in his career.
I vaguely remember this.
Bad smelling feet. She had stinky feet. Anyway, and one time he came back to the hotel with her and they started making out or something. And then she sort of would push him away. So I was like, okay. So then they'd sort of take a break and then they start making out again. And then she'd push him away again, you know. He's like, all right. So he just went to sleep or whatever else. She left, whatever happened. And then like a year or two later, they met up again. And she told him, because he said, well, what kind of happened? She said, well, I wanted you to just like take over and like not rape me, but essentially, you know, manhandle me.
Yeah.
Even though, because that was kind of her turn on, that was her kink, was to be forced to have sex.
You know?
And a lot of women do have a rape fantasy, but not something I'd ever be into. But he makes a great point about, like, well, how was he to know? Like, what if she hadn't have been into that?
And that's exactly what happened to me. I mean, like, having a conversation with somebody that I'm potentially going to sleep with.
Yeah.
If I say something that doesn't make them comfortable and they decide, no, I don't want to sleep with you.
Uh-huh.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Don't ever do something that you don't want to do.
Exactly.
At the same time, when I do find these girls who are very much into being dominated, I tell them very early on, I'm not going to throw it all on you at one time.
Right.
Like, I can be very incredibly aggressive, like the fantasy rape play. There are people out there in the world who like to do that.
Right.
Sometimes I like to be that guy.
Right.
But at the same time, I also do set the boundaries of saying, like, the moment you feel like it's going too far, you need to speak up.
Safe word.
Yeah, like safe word, like yeah. Be comfortable. Like your comfort is my number one thing. And the one right. thing that I loved Oof. About hearing when I was like introduced into reading about the bondage world mm-hmm. or the alternative sexual lifestyle is when you get this dom submissive relationship, the person who has the most power in that relationship is the submissive.
Yeah.
When she gives up that power and says, please, like, do these things to me.
Hmm.
All it takes is one word, one safe word for her to do that brings everything to a halt.
Right.
I love women as people. I appreciate them for who they are. I'm very much a feminist. Mm. When it comes to WWE, I'm loving the Divas Revolution that's now become yeah. like the Women's Revolution and seeing like powerful people actually stepping up to the plate. I'm very sad at certain things that have been going on within politics. There's a particular individual who is involved with this Donald Trump situation.
Uh-huh.
And she was one of these women that came forward saying like she has been assaulted by Donald Trump.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very upset that that happened
right.
to her and that it took her this long to come there.
Of course.
Like I have no intention when I do this like fantasy rape play.
Yeah.
I have no intention of ever wanting to hurt or scar somebody.
Good.
I only want people to be explorative
yep.
and love themselves. And at the end of it, if you don't leave my apartment or wherever we're doing our thing
mm-hmm.
happy, something's wrong.
Yeah.
Like there's something that needs to be fixed.
Sure.
There.
Sure. Absolutely. You want to leave someone a better person than
yeah.
when you first met them, for sure.
Yeah, I honestly believe that the exploring of sex does help that therapeutic type side. And that's where I do sometimes find myself in that situation of like, I can be in love with somebody, but I want to go have sex with this person because if I have an urge and I let that urge sit there and just boil, sooner or later, the pot's going to boil over.
Sure. Which is why most people cheat, which is why it's so difficult for so many people. Of course, the irony is that I was very good at being in monogamous relationships.
Yeah.
You know?
And there are people out there who are
right, I know. Good at that. But I just believe that my life is fuller in a non-monogamous world, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this. So you don't think that you can love, deeply love, in a sexual way, more than one person at the same time? You think you can only do that to one person?
I'm not going to say no, and I'm not going to say yes. I'm going to say that I just haven't been presented with the situation.
Let me ask you this. Can you think of two girls in your life that you felt that deep emotional sexual connection with?
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you met them at the same time, or they were both in your life at the same time, do you think you could have dated them both at the same time and had that relationship? Or do you think that would have been impossible to?
Earlier on tonight, I did say, like, don't knock it till you try it.
Mm.
So I would be a hypocrite to say that if I didn't try it, I couldn't. So I would at least have to give it a try. I would at least have to explore the idea, see what would happen.
Yeah.
As long as they're okay with it and comfortable with it, then yeah, I would at least try it. But I don't know.
But you wouldn't try it if she was in another emotional sexual relationship.
If I became the second guy
uh-huh.
who came into that emotional relationship, and if I was the side guy, yeah. I at least know what my place is in the right. relationship.
Well, but if you have another emotional relationship as well, that's what I'm trying to get to, mm-hmm. is I feel like when someone talks about, I don't want to be second place, or that fear of like being less, I think it's because you're fully invested in this one person, whether it's in a monogamous relationship or a non-monogamous relationship. For example, if you have a primary partner who you're deeply emotionally invested with and you have sex with very other people, you still feel jealous about your primary partner because you've got so much more invested in that person.
Yeah.
Whereas if you had that much invested with someone else at the same time, I think you'd almost have to be less concerned about losing that one person. And some would make an argument that that's why a polyamorous relationship is less deep and less meaningful than a monogamous relationship, because a monogamous relationship has everything in with this one person. And I guess you could make that argument, perhaps. And I think when you see it in Disney or movies, that's why it appeals to us, because that oxytocin rush of being with that one person. Like, it's some kind of magical thing. Like, there's this one person. There are 6 billion people on this earth, but there's this one person that I met and I connected with, and it's as though I never want to be with anybody else. God, I get it.
Yeah.
Because I felt it that way before. But my question is, how feasible is it for the rest of your life?
Man, wow, that's a hard, wow, mind-blowing. Man, this got deep. Things are getting deep on this podcast. I like it. In my mind, if I'm going into a relationship that already exists between two people and I'm the second guy, I at least know my place. I at least know that I'm the second place person there.
Right.
And a part of me actually feels comfortable with that.
Okay.
Because I have been that guy. I have been the side guy where I'm like, I know he can be the emotional attachment and need to, like, do the romantic dinners with her.
Yeah.
Like, go to the family gatherings and everything, where then I get to sit on my couch and just be the side guy that kind of pops in.
Right.
If I know that, I'm okay with it. Like, the problem that happened with the last girlfriend, if I'm presented with the situation of being brought up to be the number one, like, I'm the main guy.
And then it changes
that that her past number one's coming in.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
That becomes a slight issue. But cool. But at the same time, like, if I'm in a relationship with a girl and she wants to bring a third guy in to the bed, yeah, I wouldn't really have a problem with that. Depending on the guy, as long, again, comfort, communication with everybody, I wouldn't really have an issue with that. But if she wanted him to stay in the bed,
right,
it gets a little crowded at times. Yeah,
for sure. I don't doubt it. Do you think you could have that deep emotional primary relationship with a guy? Or do you think that you have to have that with a girl and any other?
This is just me. I mean, every single person's different. And there is that slight bisexuality type of mentality that I do have. But honestly, no. I can't see myself having that emotional relationship with a guy.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm going to say, I don't know, because I haven't tried it.
Yeah, you know.
But at this moment in time, if I'm sitting here saying, like, thinking about it really hard, I've never found myself that emotionally attached to another male.
Yeah.
To sit there and say, like, yeah, I want to spend the rest of my life with this person.
Yeah.
And, like, have them nearby. Right. But at the same time, like, I have had the sexual attraction towards another male of saying, like, Ryan Gosling. Hell yeah. That's a hot dude.
Why does everyone choose Ryan Gosling?
Honestly, I think he's just a good-looking guy.
He is and a good-looking guy. Like, of course he is.
I'm like, if Ryan Gosling came over to me and was like, hey, by the way, on the low, me and Eva Longoria, is it Eva Longoria? Is that the... Like, I'm more attracted to him than I am her. but he's just a good-looking guy. More power to him. Well, I mean, it's never going to happen. Right. I don't know what their relationship is, and more power to them. I know that they have children together. Awesome. That's great. But
we're right. We're all on a sliding scale. I don't think that anybody's 100% straight. I don't think anybody's 100% gay. I think as human beings, we're attracted to other human beings. And, you know, there are some people who are largely, almost exclusively attracted to someone of the opposite sex. And then there are some people who are right in the middle. And they don't care whether you're male, female, or trans, or whatever it happens to be. And I don't think it's a terrible thing either way. Like I said, I'm all for more love and more kindness in the world, and just the question is, how do we get to that stage? And I certainly don't have all the answers, Crow, for sure. But I think that having these sort of discussions perhaps helps us as a species to get closer to it.
Yeah. Going back to what you were saying, the scale of, like, straight to homosexuality, given the power of Google that is in everybody's hands nowadays, it is called the Kinsey scale, Kinsey.
Alfred Kinsey was the guy.
Alfred Kinsey. I recommend to everybody, go on to Google, type in Kinsey scale, find a free test,
ooh,
take the test.
I will do that. And yeah, actually, I will do that before this airs. I'm going to do that. And then at the end of this interview, I will tell you what my Kinsey score was. Oh, my God.
Take the test, but be truthful to yourself. Like, okay. Like if you want to come out with your results,
right,
that's awesome.
I will.
Like
no,
I say, I'm like a two or three, depending, because I've taken the test on a couple
different...
What
does it mean, two to three? What is it?
Like zero, on the normal Kinsey scale, zero is absolutely 100% straight.
Okay.
Never once had a thought about another guy.
Gotcha.
Never once had... And then you go from there to... I think it's seven.
Seven is as camp as Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. Seven is there is
as gay as George Michael.
You look at a God vagina and it is the most disgusting thing in the world.
Okay.
By the way, there was a comedian that I heard one time, and I wish I could remember what this guy's name was. It was out in open mic night, but it was one of the funniest things that I ever heard. Where comedian was talking about the idea of, like, when you really look at a vagina and you really think about a vagina, if it didn't have the legs and it didn't have the body and the tits and the ass and everything, it'd be really scary. So just imagine yourself, like, walking in the woods and all of a sudden you hear that, like, Michael Myers, like,
yeah,
and then you turn around and it's just a vagina with no legs, no nothing.
I mean, how
just
big
chasing
is this
you down
vagina? Is it like normal life size?
Well, I'm making this a cartoon in my mind.
Is it human size, like 6 foot tall vagina with massive, like, wizard sleeves?
Yeah, in my mind, this thing
the size
is
of your head.
This thing is
that's
like
pretty scary.
Like just a, yeah, it's pretty terrifying, right, but with like no arms, no legs, just a vagina. Like, what was that movie called? Teeth.
I never saw it.
I think it was called Teeth. The vagina that eats people. And so, like, it's been made. Everything has been made now. Why do people keep bitching about the fact? Why do we keep remaking things? Because it's all been done before.
Right.
But the Kinsey scale on Wikipedia, it starts at a zero and ends at a six.
Oh, okay.
And so I end up at, like,
so you're, yeah,
I
yeah
end up at a two, right, or so, where there is that, like, it's minimal. There's a slight possibility of, like, yeah, I've had thoughts in the past,
right,
and doesn't bother me.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because oftentimes I've said before, girls' sexuality is far more plastic than guys. I know a number of girls, very good friend now, who's gay, actually doesn't even consider herself gay because she spent the majority of her life being heterosexual,
yeah,
never once had a thought about someone of the same sex, and then met this girl, and now they've been married for 11 years, or they've been together for 11 years, you know. Whereas guys, I think, aren't necessarily so plastic. I think the way that we're hardwired is almost set in stone when we're like 18, for whatever reason, and that's why I think men, generally speaking, have more fetishes than women, etc., etc. But you do get that notion that women can be bisexual and they might date a guy and they might date a girl, but with a guy, you know, you suck one dick and you're gay. that's the joke, right?
I wish, like, going back and just saying, like, when the connection between the idea of love and sex got combined, and you had that one individual who wrote these two things and made them together and said that these things lock together and they should never be pulled apart.
Right.
Like, that was around a time where bathhouses were a thing. That was around a time where, like, within the writing of the Bible, where you ended up having, like, men who were married to, like, young children.
Yeah.
Like, now that's a disgusting thing to us.
Right.
At the same time, you had, like, it was normal for homosexuality to be a thing, because when they were married to women, the definition of marriage at that point was more often a property than a human relationship.
Yeah, I mean, ancient Greece, homosexuality was the norm, for sure.
Yeah.
And heterosexual sex oftentimes was really only for procreation in large orgies that they would have.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, I don't know if that was the ideal situation either.
No. But it wasn't the ideal situation. But what I'm trying to get to is this, like, mentality of, like, don't hurt people.
Yeah.
I mean, there are things to me that I even consider extreme, like the idea of blood play. Not my thing.
Right.
Not a big fan of, like, combining bloods, or not a big fan of even cutting or bodily harm towards somebody.
Right.
Very aggressive, but at the same time, I don't ever want somebody physically abused or, like, emotionally abused or even scarred abused.
Yeah.
Like, I love this quote that I just read on Twitter from a friend of mine who's in the porn industry that's really upset about, there was somebody, I guess, on the news that said something along the lines of, like, we need to start teaching teaching girls how not to get raped. And then she, like, well, I mean, when you're looking at something like the stuff on, like, Fox News, people are saying, like, the cleavage is showing, or you're wearing the short skirt and everything, like, you're just asking for it.
Right.
Whereas, like, she then posted up saying, we don't need to stop teaching people to love their bodies. We need to start teaching people not to rape. If you have that interest of wanting to rape somebody, again, that's another extreme. That's something that's going to hurt somebody.
Right.
Whereas I can sit there and say, like, your interest is in wanting to be dominant and wanting to be aggressive. There is a thing called rape play. There are females out there in the world where their fantasy is to want to be raped, but they want that control still.
Yes.
So you can do it safely. Yeah. You can be as safe as possible, have that open communication and everything, making sure that both people on both sides are 100% comfortable with what's going on in that world. Or within your own individual world between the two of you or the three of you, whatever's going on, like, more power to you. But that's what I want to be, is I want to be the guy that encourages people to at least explore as healthy and as natural as possible. Like, don't be ashamed of what you are.
That's fantastic. Like,
yeah, if you love sex, good. If you don't love sex, good. Just love yourself and know your self-worth, know who you are, know what you want. Don't ever let somebody change that. If you're not into something, own you. Don't ever try to bend towards somebody just because you think that guy's cute and you should do this because he wants you to do it. No, like, be as comfortable as possible. If you don't want to lose your virginity till you're like 35 years old, don't lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Own it. Hold on to it. In my mind, I've never felt that I've ever pressured anybody into sex, and I don't ever want to.
Good.
So if you're listening to this, just own who you are and love yourself and get out there and explore as comfortably as you want to.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful thing. Well, that's, I think, a perfect way to end up this wonderful, getting on for nearly an hour and a half. Time flies.
Yes.
You're talking about BDSM.
Oh, we could keep this going. I'm sure.
No, we've got to watch some wrestling.
Yeah, Monday Night Raw.
Some sports entertainment. Anyway, mate, listen, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I appreciate your friendship, as always.
Love you, buddy.
And love you too. And I look forward to more times in the Magic Castle.
Definitely.
All right, God bless.
All right, buddy.
Cheers. What a cool guy, huh? Well, for those interested, I took the Kinsey test and I'm afraid to say I came out as a zero. Pretty much as straight as you can get. Sorry, fellas, I guess I'm only in business for boobs. I'm probably one of a very few straight guys who took the test and were a tiny bit disappointed they weren't at least a little more gay. what can you do? Next week's interview is with Denise, a pretty, smart, and altogether sexy girl I've been trying to interview for a while now since I first met her at the same Infinite Love discussion group that I met Andy. She talks openly about a lot of things, including her sexuality and desire to have kids when she was younger, the latter of which I thought perhaps I could learn from, but perhaps I won't have to. We will see.
I came out as gay when I was 21 or 22 years old, only to then date a man and be completely confused and be a closeted heterosexual for 6 months. I lied to all my friends about dating a man because I was embarrassed.
I'll see you next week. Well, that is it. Another week on this earth, another blessing. Thank you for listening and being part of my journey. Drop me a line if you have a comment or question, or if you think you know someone who'd be a good parenting partner for me. If you like the show, help spread the word, write a review, subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher so you don't miss an episode. I will be back next week, but until then, wherever you are and whoever you're with, be kind and happy. Let love rule. Yeah.